Welcome to the fifth installment in our peer-to-peer networking series. Today we'll be looking at using PNRP and Windows Communication Foundation to establish a direct connection between peers across our network. So what do we mean when we're talking about establishing a direct connection? What we're really talking about is using WCF to directly connect one peer to another peer. It's really all about one-to-one communication. This is not, at this point, intended for communicating with a large number of peers. So to be really clear, what we're talking about is, let's say we have two people out on the internet and they want to play tic-tac-toe. So Bob goes out and registers a peer name with PNRP, which includes, as part of that registration, his IP address and a port number. Alice also wants to play tic-tac-toe, so she can go ahead and register as well. Her IP address and port number are published into the cloud. And then Bob could look for other people, other peers that want to play tic-tac-toe, using that registration information, pull out Alice's IP address and port number, and then using WCF, be able to connect directly up to Alice and be able to start a game of tic-tac-toe. So that's really what we're talking about. The basics of using WCF in this scenario are that your peer application can act as either a host for a set of WCF services, so kind of like having a dynamic server that comes and goes in the cloud. It can be the client consuming those services, or typically in a peer-to-peer scenario, your peer application will be acting as both a host and a client for your application. Typically, we're going to be using TCP or maybe HTTP bindings. Because you have the IP address and have the port, you can certainly extend and leverage the WCF infrastructure to come up with any kind of, you know, connection that you may want to be able to get to work, provided the fact that you understand you have an IP address and a port number. What we'll be doing in our examples is using the PNRP peer host name that we've explored in earlier installments of this series to use that as a quote-unquote DNS name, a faux DNS name, to connect between peers. You can certainly use duplex communication as well. For simplicity purposes and the demonstrations I'll be doing, we'll be doing this in kind of a client and server sort of scenario, just because I don't want to get into the complexities of WCF. You can kind of explore those on your own. But in most peer-to-peer scenarios, you probably would be doing this via duplex communication, and in future installments, we'll actually probably do some of that as well. So the steps to connect are pretty straightforward. You set up a WCF service, either on your machine or some other peer will be setting up a WCF service. Again, this could be the host, the client, or both. You go ahead and register your PNRP peer name. You resolve other peers, and then using the peer endpoint information that you get, you pass that into WCF and connect. Now, one thing to be aware of is that when you are setting up your WCF service and you're creating the host side of that equation, what we typically need to do is configure our client firewall, Windows firewall, for example, to accept inbound communication. Most firewalls, certainly Windows firewall, prevent what's called edge transversal, which basically means that I have this service running, and yes, I've opened up ports so my service can communicate out. But if someone tries to come in and connect to me, and I haven't talked to them first, most firewalls will deny that communication unless you specifically set that up. And we'll show you how you do that on the client using the control panel, but you may also want to solve that problem at install time for your application and set up some firewall rules as part of that installation. So let's go ahead and do a demo of setting up the host. Let's dive in and look at our WCF host application. So I have a project called WCF Direct Host. I'm not going to focus on implementing the WCF service. There's lots of tutorials on the internet on how to do that, but this is the service contract. I basically have three methods that I want to expose from my hosted service. A enter method, so when I log on, I pass some agent info, sending those images back and forth from the agent to the host, and then a kind of log off or a leave method to say that the particular agent is left. There's some other stuff here that's application specific, but you can learn how to do WCF application development with tons of available internet resources if you're not familiar. But that's kind of the service, the collection of operations I want to expose on the internet. What I've done is I've created a class called Peer Registration Service to give me a little bit of separation of concerns, and its sole purpose is to wrap the peer-to-peer namespace. The two important things that we'll be using is a start function or start method. What it does is it takes in a peer classifier and a port, and it basically sets up my peer registration for me. So it creates a peer name. Using my peer classifier, it will be an unsecured peer name. And then it goes ahead and creates a registration using the peer name, the port, and registers into the global PNRP cloud. And then I go ahead and start that registration to actually log me, quote unquote, log me into the PNRP infrastructure. The other important thing to note is I have this property called peer URI. All it really does is returns that peer host name that we've looked at in previous screencasts. So both of these methods and properties here are just doing the exact same thing we've done in previous screencasts. So this is kind of my faux DNS name that's being created for me by the PNRP infrastructure. So let's go ahead and look at then how we actually would use that to set up our WCF hosting environment and make that service accessible via that PNRP hostname. So inside of my Intel service host, I have a method called open. And what I do is I pass in the service I want to host, a peer classifier, and a port. And you could probably tweak this and make it a little different, a little better. Again, I'm just kind of, you know, slinging code trying to get these apps done for demonstration purposes. But I'm going to go ahead and call that peer registration class and say I need to start. I need to register into the peer-to-peer infrastructure. So we're going to pass in a peer classifier and a port. Now the question may be, where did that port come from? Real quickly, let me jump over here and open my service presenter. And I'm going to go down to a method, called find free port. And what it does is it uses the system.net namespace and goes in and creates an IP endpoint that's binding to any of my available IP addresses. And then it goes and says, I want to create a socket. That socket should be on the IP4 network. And because I can do IP6 tunneling through IP4, it makes sense to kind of grab an IP4 endpoint. And I ask that socket to bind to an available endpoint. And what happens is then the system.net infrastructure will automatically find a free port for me to bind that socket to, and then I can grab that and just return that from this function. So I'm kind of playing a little bit of a game here, kind of binding a port and getting rid of it, but it tells me a free port that I can use. Again, you could statically define that if you want. So that goes ahead and registers me into the peer-to-peer namespace. So what I next need is a URI that my WCF infrastructure can attach to and listen to for incoming requests for that service that I want to host. So we're going to use TCP for this particular service. So I'm going to create a new URI, and we'll just use a string formatter here, and we really need to pass in a couple of key pieces of information. As I said, this will be a TCP-based service, and what I need to pass in is a host name. Most WCF services, this would be the DNS name of the server that you're running your WCF service on. Well, we don't have that truly because we're, you know, just a client laptop machine coming and going. I need the port, and then we're going to listen on an endpoint called Intel service. So what I pass in for the DNS host name is I go into peer-to-peer registration, and I grab my faux DNS name from my peer-to-peer environment. So this is that PNRP host name being passed back from my peer host name, and then the port. And so that sets up the URI then that can be used by WCF. So I'm going to go in and go ahead and create a new service host that actually will host my WCF service. I'm going to pass in the service that I want to be hosted that was passed into me in the method call, and then I'm going to say, hey, and you're going to listen on this new URI that I created. Now, the next couple steps here that I'm going to do, you could also kind of set this up using WCF config files. I'm just going to do it in code here to kind of explain exactly what's going on for folks who may not necessarily, you know, understand WCF config files and all that kind of thing. What I need to do is, now that I have my service host set up to actually host the service, is I need to give it the infrastructure to actually bind the host to the actual endpoints that we need to listen to. So I'm going to create a net TCP binding, and we'll go ahead and just create a new one of those, and I need to tell it what its security mode is going to be, and we'll just say that in this case it's none, but I could use transport or message security along with this if I wanted to make myself a little more secure implementation. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell my service host, okay, let's add that as a service endpoint now. And so what you're going to do is you're going to end up hosting something of iIntel service, and then you're going to do that at that TCP binding. And there's no additional URI information I need to pass in because I kind of configured the entire URI up there when I set up that TCP URI. And that's all there is to it. When I run the application now and I click that start button, this configures up WCF and starts to host that service for me dynamically on a PNRP-based endpoint. One more thing I want to show you real quickly is I'm going to go ahead and go into the Windows Firewall. So the very first time that you run that application from within Visual Studio, or if you run it directly as an executable, you will get this little pop-up that will come up and ask you, you know, would you like to configure Windows Firewall to allow, you know, public access, private access, etc. I'm sure you've seen that for other applications. What that does is it builds a rule, an inbound rule, inside of the Windows Firewall environment for the particular application. So here I'm looking at it from the context of running from within the Visual Studio debug host. What you want to do, and either do this as part of setup or, you know, just for your testing purposes, you can come in here and do it, is for that host, the WCF host, to be able to accept incoming connections, you need to go into the rule. So this would, and this is the, in the scenario for if I'm running it in debug. If I'm running it directly, I would just go to the WCF direct host.exe rule, and I need to go to advanced. And you have this thing called edge transversal, and what this does is it controls whether or not the application will respond to inbound requests from a source outside of the NAT that the application has not previously talked to. So basically a brand new connection from someone I don't know. The default is to defer to the user. If you want to kind of get rid of that and just make everything work automagically, you would set this to allow edge transversal. So just a little heads up to be aware of. So now let's demo the other side of the equation and set up the client. Just a couple quick hits to let you know how we've configured things. I went ahead and ran the command line WCF utility, the SVC util, to generate all of the proxy code that I need to connect to the service that's running inside of my host. You can see, you know, it's picked up the definition for the Intel service. So there's my enter, my send Intel, my leave. Again, this is all WCF specific goo. Here's my proxy class that allows me, for example, to call enter and send and, you know, leave. So again, very WCF specific stuff. Similar to the host application, I've created a wrapper class around the PN RP functionality called peer resolver service. You pass in the host peer name. I create an instance of a peer name resolver, and as I mentioned previously, I run this synchronously. So I call resolve synchronously. A better implementation for a UI app certainly would be async. I pass in or create a peer name by passing in the host name and saying I want to look for an unsecured peer name, and I'm looking inside of the global PNRP cloud. I make sure I get a result. Maybe the host isn't up and running, so results could be null, or there could be nothing found. So I'll throw an exception there. And then if I do actually find a peer, I just have a little wrapper class again to hold the results. And what I do is I take the first result. So in the case of unsecured peer names, I can actually have multiple test peers, for example, existing out there in the cloud. So I'm just assuming that if for some reason I found more than one peer registered, I'm going to grab the very first one and I'm going to peel off that fake DNS name, the peer host name, and stick that into this results class. And then every peer can also have multiple endpoints associated with it. So again, I'm just making the decision that I'm going to grab the very first one and pass that. In a different type of application, you may need to, you know, account for this and handle it differently, or have some way of figuring out which one you actually want. And there's other things you can do with private peer names and things like that that we'll talk about in future screencasts. But just be aware that that's one thing you have to kind of deal with in these simple types of scenarios. And then the real action for getting WCF and working is handled in my Intel client class. And so the magic happens inside of the start method. So I call start and pass in the host peer name. I use that peer resolver to resolve the host name and get a result. And as long as I have a result, what I'm going to do, and again, when you look at the actual sample code, the download demo code stuff, there's a lot more error handling, a little more nicety and using some of the other application features here. But I'm just going to focus on the WCF implementation or WCF setup specific things here. So what I need to do is set up a binding to connect to that remote service. And again, we know it's NetTCP, so I'm just going to create a new NetTCP binding. And as we know from the host demo, we don't have any security set up on this. So that sets up our binding. And then I need an endpoint. And this is where the PNRP piece again plays a huge role. Is we'll go ahead and say I have an endpoint address, and what I'm going to do is create a new one, and I'm going to format up a string again, if I can type. And what we'll do is say, hey, it's NetTCP again, and I need a DNS name, and I need a port to listen on. And we know that the end of the URI is Intel Service. And so then what I'm going to do is say, hey, we're going to use my peer record and grab its URI. So that's that fake peer name, host name, DNS thing that's going to, you know, it's created for me dynamically. And then we know that it's got a port that it wants to listen to. And so that will create a endpoint that I can then tell my infrastructure I want to listen to. And what I basically do is I have a property here called the Intel Service that, you know, will expose all the methods that the UI can use and things like that. And basically what this is going to be is it's going to be an implementation of that Intel proxy class that was automatically created for me. And I just need to pass in the binding that I want to use and the endpoint I want to configure on. And at this point now, I could say to, in my client application, is I could say, hey, Intel Service, I'm going to call the enter method now and send my, you know, agent profile information to log into the application, or I need to send some intel, so let me put my intel data in there, or I'm all done and I want to leave the application. So very quickly, totally dynamic, totally based on PNRP, I don't need to have a real DNS name, I've created a host, and I've now found that host from my client, and I'm consuming that. What we've shown you is how to set up a client, how to set up a server, and do a one-to-one communication. I could easily change those WCF services over to be duplex, and that would allow a very peer-to-peer-esque type of communication pattern instead of a client-server pattern. But what happens when, instead of just playing tic-tac-toe against one other person, I want to chat with lots of other people? Well, purely from Bob's perspective, this might not be too bad, right? I could set up a duplex WCF service, and I could connect up to all the different people I want to chat with. And as they chat to me, I'll get their message, and then I'll send my message that I'm going to send to all the people that are part of the chat. But what happens is, obviously, this needs to be duplicated for each person in the chat. Now, for a smaller chat network of only 5 people or whatever, this probably works fine. But you can think of peer-to-peer scenarios, not necessarily chat-oriented, where I really need a wide net as far as how I cast and broadcast messages. I can, again, do this using WCF, using the same techniques we've shown you, but there is an easier way to do this for broadcasting messages, and that's what's called the WCF peer channel, which builds on top of the native PNRP APIs that we've looked at in these past several episodes, but gives me a WCF layer over the top of that that allows me to quickly and easily broadcast messages to anyone who's part of my peer mesh. So that's what we'll be looking at in the next episode. Hopefully you found this one useful, laying the foundation for more interesting applications as we keep moving forward. So hopefully I'll see you next time when I talk about WCF's peer channel.